Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the ELCA, and it is Sunday, July 7th, 2019. It's the time after Pentecost, and today we're going to hear a sermon by Pastor Arnie Berglund. Now, his sermon got cut off at the beginning, as well as the gospel reading, so let's do that now. We are in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. And 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned in joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Pastor Arnie Berglund will now preach. The beginning of his sermon gets cut off, but he's talking about back a long time ago, an old car that he had. A family car that he had and had just paid off.
It was paid for. In fact, it ran until I drove it literally into the ground. Now, in 1983, we loaded it to the brim, including a car top carrier that was nearly as big as the car. We had everything that we would need for a year of internship in Alaska. It took Susan and I up there without a whimper. It brought us back nearly the same way, with a stop for a new water pump in, of all places, Hope, British Columbia. Of course, we moved on to bigger cars in time. By the time that we had arrived at that minivan stage, we found that even when we went on a journey in that larger vehicle, it was filled to the brim. Today, any time spent on the road, if you've spent any time on the road lately on the highways, you will find RVs carrying trailers with cars and boats and bikes and motorcycles. You will find vehicles loaded to the brim under the weight of everything that they might need for their journey. Now, Scripture is filled with journey stories. And in those stories, people encounter twists and turns that they're sometimes prepared for, but oftentimes, not so much. From early on, those who journeyed carried with them these words of comfort that we read this morning from the prophet Isaiah. "As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, your heart shall rejoice, your body shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants." When they needed them, these words were remembered, and they were needed. Along the way, roadblocks and discouragement could set in, and there were times when they needed words of comfort in the worst way. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Today, the gospel lesson we read remembers a remarkable journey. Jesus sends 70 disciples out. He gives those 70 a job to do. And once again, the people of God find themselves on a journey. Once again, the twists and turns of the journey. In the twists and turns of the journey, they find that God is with them. And so with words of encouragement, Jesus sends his disciples out two by two. Words of encouragement. See, I'm sending you like lambs into the midst of wolves. What do they carry with them? He tells them, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. How could anyone get by with so little? In our day, it would seem that the old Boy Scout motto, be prepared, has become more and more. We're not satisfied with a little. We need a lot. And in preparing for our journeys, we pack a little of everything, sometimes a lot of everything. And that little two-door Dodge of mine would be way too small. In God we trust? Maybe it's in our stuff we trust. If we just have a little more, everything will be okay. But when it comes to the twists and turns of the journey, our stuff and our good intentions are not enough. So Jesus sends the 70 out, telling them to leave everything behind, to live in trust on the grace of God. Jesus sends them out without a change of clothes, without a hairdryer even. He sends them without money, empty-handed, with but a simple message to share along the way. Peace be with you. The kingdom of God is near. The disciples were called and sent. All who would follow Christ, all who would follow Christ are called and sent. And in the sending, the followers of Christ are given the hope and promise and grace of God to carry with them. The message the disciples were asked to share is just that. God's word is sufficient to meet your needs. Good news is but an echo of the ancient hope from the pages of Isaiah. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. In the basket of that hope, the disciples placed all of their eggs. They suspected that if they took up the job that Jesus sent them to do, there might be trouble. They had an idea that following Jesus would not mean less trouble. Jesus had told them as much, "Behold, I send you as lambs before wolves." And yet this group of ill-trained, ill-prepared, imperfect people somehow took the banner of that goodness, the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ, and they had faith and they followed. In spite of the twists and turns, the roadblocks of that journey, they went out. In spite of fears or misgivings or doubt, they persevered. And Scripture tells us that their journey was quite successful. Jesus sends the disciples out to tell the good news because it's the truth. God's word is sufficient for our need. Jesus sends his disciples out, telling them to leave everything behind. He doesn't do that to make things difficult for them. He does so because all those things they thought to be necessary, they weren't important. God will provide. God does provide. In our baptism, we're reminded that God has first come near to us in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. God first comes to us in our baptism in a relationship that is like a mother comforting her child. The promise that God is near in Christ compels the baptized to live faithfully, compassionately, wherever our journeys will take us, to bring along with us the good news of that promise of God that is sufficient. Now, what could be more remarkable than that the kingdom of God is near in all that we do, in all that we are? God is present. God finds a way to bring healing to our lives, to enter into our loneliness and sorrow, to be with us when we encounter twists and turns in life, to save us indeed from ourselves, from our own rebellion, and to break the bonds of sin and death. God comes near in Jesus Christ, the sure, the certain hope. It doesn't depend on how prepared we are. It doesn't depend on what we have with us. It doesn't even depend on who we are. Paul reminds us of that. There is no slave. There is no free. There is no male. There is no female. There is no resident. There is no alien. It all depends on the love of God given freely through Jesus Christ. There's an old legend that imagines the return of Jesus to heaven after his time on earth. He returns bearing the cruel marks of the cross. He's met there by the angel Gabriel, who approaches him and says, "Master, you must have suffered terribly for those people down there." "I did," Jesus said. Gabriel continued, "Do they know all about how you loved them and what you did for them?" Jesus said, "No, not yet. Right now, it's only a handful of people in Palestine who know." Gabriel was perplexed. "Then what have you done," he asked, "to let all the people know about the love you have for them?" "Well," Jesus said, "I asked Peter and James and John and a few others to tell people about me. Those who are told will in turn tell others, and the story will be spread to the farthest ends of the earth." Well, the angel Gabriel frowned, and he looked skeptical. He knew that people were not dependable. "Yes," Jesus said, "but they will tell the story." "Well, do you have other plans? Do you have a plan B?" Jesus said, "No, I have no other plans. I am counting on them to tell the story." Jesus gathered 70 followers together. He told them to share what they had found out about God's love in their faith journey. He asked them to tell that story of God's love, to speak of God's presence in their lives. He asked them to commit to the truth that they had found in God's promise, and to simply tell the story in whatever fashion they could. Well, we know how that worked out. The story's been told over and over and over again. And in the telling, people have come to faith. People have come to feel the promise of God who's with them, who loves them, who brings them comfort. "Do not rejoice in your success," he told them. "Rejoice that God loves you and that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in the things that matter. Trust in the things that are really true. Hope in the things which are certain, and leave the rest behind. Rejoice and share your joy with others. It is a sharing of indiscriminate love. If you wonder who God would have you share the story with, if you wonder who God would have you love and care for, Jesus would say simply, everyone, always, everyone. As Paul has reminded us this morning, there are no divisions that separate us. We are all children of God, heirs of that promise that Isaiah spoke of. Those 70 followed because of a hope in a God who provides, They shared a hope with others that you and I might have it today. And it is a hope sufficient for our needs. It is a promise that the world needs. It is all we need for our journey as we follow in faithfulness. God's kingdom is near. God's kingdom is for all. God has given us what we need for that journey. We need nothing else than this hope that we can cling to, this light by which we might see our way, a faith that is true, a love that is meant to be shared, that God's truth and justice might heal our broken world. Amen.